I believe we had canceled Brother Craig's shoe twice. We had him scheduled twice because of COVID. We had to cancel it, but we worked it out. He'll tell you who he is and what he's all about in just a minute, but I had some time with him yesterday that blessed my heart, his zeal and his burden for souls and what God's doing. He's going to come and share with you from his heart this morning, and I want you to pray. Welcome, if you will, Brother Craig Shue. He's from up North Wilkesboro, and he's with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank you so much, Benson Grove. Hang on, I forgot my water. See, I'm already nervous. Hallelujah. Hey, listen up. Hey, y'all pray for me. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God, folks. And but I'll just tell you quickly, just a little short version of my testimony. I was a 28-year-old man, lost as a ball in high weeds, and I didn't grow up in the things of God and things like that, and I'm not knocking my parents, but that's just how it was for me. And October the 14th, 1995, I went to my 10th class reunion. The little girl there I grew up with in school, who had become a Christian when she was 8 years old, and she lived it. I always knew there was something different about her, Brother Caswell. And she started talking to me about the Lord, started talking to me about Jesus, what I believed about him, and my need for him in my life. And 14 days later, after questioning and talking to her and her answering every question about salvation. Hey, man, God, tell me how to get Jesus. Hey, man. And I cried out to God to forgive my own wicked life and asked the Lord to come into my heart, and he did. I never had to go back and ask him again. Hey, man. And here I am getting ahead of myself, Benson Grove. My display table's out there. It tells a lot about the ministry. We're Rock of Ages missionaries to the juveniles and homeless. Thank you for this opportunity in this meeting. Thank you, Benson Grove. Thank you, Pastor Caswell. Get you a prayer card. Hey, man, and when you put your shoes on, pray for the Shue family. After I got saved, I got in the trucking industry for 21 years before full-time ministry, and we are in our fourth year of living by faith. Hey, man, and in that time, I met my dear wife and my wife and daughter. My oldest daughter got married on February 20th of this year to a good one, amen. And, but my youngest daughter's 14, and my wife, I'm not going to tell her age, amen, because she may be watching. But listen to me. They would be here with me, but I will be from here to a missions conference in Durham and then to a prison revival, a prison meeting in Johnston CI on Wednesday. And I don't take them in the prison with me, amen. Oh, I'm getting lost in everything. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. But Rock of Ages is a ministry, and just to give you a quick on that, it began in 1977 under the direction of Brother Ed Ballou. He was in a prison in Rafford, Florida, doing services and started a cassette tape ministry. How many of you remember cassette tapes? Hey, man. Hey, I do too. And the 45s and the 8-tracks, so now you know how old I am. Hey, man. And Grace Baptist Church got involved with weekly Bible studies, and Rock of Ages was born, folks. And we are on 6 continents with around 135 missionaries, and pray for more laborers, please. And we have mission, we have works in the public school system, military bases, college campuses, but my ministry is in the juvenile part of ministry. Why? Because when me and my wife got married, I met her, and we joined Bethel Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. My pastor is Donnie Shoemate. And our kids got to grow up in what we did. Hey, man, God got it on my heart to get involved in the bus ministry and start picking up those kids in Wilkes County. Many of them coming out of broken homes like I deal with now in the facilities, broken homes, meth homes, drug addict homes, and we'd take the kids and bring them to church and love on them, folks. And then I got involved in the public school ministry with the Good News Club, amen? And out there on the road, driving a tractor trailer, I got involved with homeless out there, trying to feed them a meal if I could and talk to them about their relationship with the Lord. I never thought of it as a ministry until I was in ministry, Brother Caswell. And then time went on. God called me to preach his word in 2013. I'm an old man, but I'm still a young preacher. Amen. And Rock of Ages invited me to prison revival in Butner, North Carolina. And I went to it, the most dangerous facility in America is what I understood at that time. And I seen 40 young men come to Christ in that revival. And God rendered my heart that Sunday to keep going after them. I just said, Lord, I said, I'm almost 50 years old. Why didn't you do this 20 years ago? He let me know that I hadn't been born yet. So just stepped out by faith and minded him. He's took care of us. And what we do with the juveniles, I got to move around, folks. We go in the juvenile facilities throughout the Southeast on do 3 and 4 day prisoner revivals with the youth in America and the juvenile facilities and detentions, and we do that. Oh, I'm getting lost. You pray for me. Y'all are a big church, folks. We go into these facilities, folks, and we love on these kids. We tell them the good news about Christ. Hey, these kids, folks, that we deal with, hey, I've seen one in there as young as 11 years old. My coordinator's seen one at 8 years old. We work the facilities throughout the Southeast in a calendar year, and we're working on a facility right now in West Virginia, so pray we get a door open there. But we do these prison revivals, folks. My display table out there, just look at it. We go in these facilities, we'll teach the character under construction classes. I'm sure you may have heard about them. We do in the public schools. We have public school ministries there. And what these are, brothers, 160 lessons. We get to teach these kids in the prison system, dealing, helping them in their ethics and morality. We got lessons like on the Titanic. I seen your message out there. There's a good one in there on the Titanic on ignoring dangerous warning signals in your life. We teach on lessons like on forgiveness, suicide, and things like that. We teach on things to help these kids that are incarcerated, folks. And then we go back and we do cell-to-cell visitation. We love on them. Those tracks are just a few that we use. We have hundreds. We have our own track ministry printing shop there in Cleveland, Tennessee, where our mission board is, and we get those tracks in our hands. Why? So the Holy Ghost will start working on them. Amen. And then we go out there and love on them and listen to them, talk to them, encourage them to come to the service at night, and then ride back and preach to them. And we keep going back to these facilities. We don't just win on the Jesus and quit on them. We get that Rock of Ages study Bible in their hands. We encourage them to get in our weekly Bible studies. I was in Pearl, Mississippi before the shutdown and had a young man there. He had gotten saved. And he had just finished our Rock of Ages Bible study program. Boy, that cranked my tractor up, folks. Then I went over there. and two cells down, there was an 18-year-old doing life without parole. He didn't want to hear about Jesus, but I told him anyway. He couldn't get to me, but the Holy Ghost could get in there to him. Hey, man, we go in these facilities, folks, and these kids, hey, I know they're in there from runaway to murder. And they come out of these broken homes, and you say that all of them broken homes, well, the ones I've spoke to, the ones I've had the privilege to lead to Christ over the last 4 years, I haven't had a kid yet with a two-parent home there, Pastor. I'm going to give you some statistics. And drugs, gangs, and fatherless homes, that's what's destroying this country's youth, folks. Here's the Wayne Parker Foundation 2019 stats. 19.7 million children in the U.S., one out of four live without a father present in the home. 85% of all youth in prison have an absent father in the home. 71% of all high school dropouts, absent father. 90% of all homeless runaway children, absent father. 63% of youth suicide, absent father. 75% of all adolescents in substance abuse center, absent father. Why I'm here today, a little short message may get to preach. I don't know. I'm just going to mind the Lord. But in the next 30 minutes, there'll be 285 new broken homes in America. 76 teens will run away. 30 attempt suicide. 60 girls will become pregnant. 14 will give birth. 24 will get abortions. 188 teens will get drunk for the first time. And 685 teens will do drugs for the first time, folks. That's what our youth are facing in America. They're growing up in a time like we did not. Hey, man. And we go in these facilities and we love on them. We talk to them. You say, well, they've committed crimes. You're right. I've been in there and they've committed crimes from runaway to murder. You say, what do you do when you run into one of those? I'll tell you exactly what to do. Just like what somebody done for me, told me about Jesus. Hey, man, listen to me. I look past, we can't ask them what crimes that they done, folks, but I want to tell you this. Sometimes they tell us. And I did have a person in South Carolina that was in charge, a 17-year-old. He said, I'm going to let this boy tell you what he done. He had murdered somebody at 15 years old. Gang initiation. fatherless homes and drugs, folks. Seen it firsthand. I'll tell you what, folks, them kids in there, when they tell me a horrible crime they did, I just look past that crime and point on the Calvary. Just like our Savior did Paul, who was Saul on the road to Damascus. He done the same thing to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and Jesus looked past his crime and pointed on the Calvary. He got gloriously saved and wrote half the New Testament. Hey, and what about old Moses? He murdered an Egyptian, folks, and what did God do? Used him to deliver a nation. Hey, what I'm telling you, these kids may have committed some crimes, but God still got something for them. When we get Jesus to them, we're dealing with Islam, Wicca, Seventh Dayers, you name it, we're dealing with that. I've been in these facilities, folks, and these kids have looked at me and said, "Preacher, this person tells me about this religion, this person tells me about that. I don't know what to believe." I tell them young people, I said, "Hey, you come to the service tonight, we'll have a King James Bible in your hand. If I'm preaching it, I'll tell them even where I'm preaching at." I said, "You can follow right along down the Bible with us. We're going to give you the Word of God, not our opinions." Amen. That's what this world needs more now, more than ever. Not our opinions, but the Word of God. And we tell these kids that, hey, when the Holy Ghost starts working, there'll be little kids that get saved, hey man, in a cranky tractor. You can even volunteer and go in with us too if you want to. That's how I started out. And they'll walk up to you with that King James Bible and say, "Preacher, I just want you to show me that God's not going to leave me." That little boy in Alabama done that after he got saved in the service. He said, "The reason I'm telling you this is because when I get back home, it's not good. You see, when the adults get saved, they can come out of there and stay with the right crowd. But when these kids get saved and come out of these homes, hey, they go back into the same stuff." That little boy may have committed a crime, folks, but you know what? He never got what he did at home, what he got in that service. Got born again, folks. But that's what we do. We keep going back to these facilities. We keep loving on them. I can go to these facilities now and have a kid's in there from the last revival. He can tell you what you preached on. Hey, man, and that's what we do with incarcerated juveniles. I'll tell you about the homeless ministry and the message. Hey, man, in John chapter 1, if you'll turn with that, please. If you can stand to your feet, and I'll be out there at my display table if you have questions. Hey, man, I believe I've let you know what all we do with the juveniles. In John chapter 1, this is just a little message. Lord laid some different thoughts on my heart. I wrote some things down. I'll try to give it to you in a timely fashion. You could preach all of these probably an hour apiece. You listen up. I'll preach fast. Amen. And we'll get out here about 1 o'clock. Amen. Hey, all right. I'll just read three scriptures there. In John chapter 1, verse 35, 36, and 37. "And again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" There's an exclamation mark there. I want you to pay attention to that. "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we come here today. God, thank you so much. Let me present your ministry, Lord. I know it was scattered, God, but I hope the people see my heart and see that I'm going after the youth of America, God, that are incarcerated, that need you in their lives, Lord, and that's the only thing that's going to make a difference. God, I pray today here at Benson Grove Baptist Church, Lord, I pray, God, your spirit to move in out of avenues of your people's heart. I pray he'll encourage the saints of God today. We all need encouragement in these last days, Lord, and we all need to edify and lift you up high and holy. And God, we all need to just be looking to you, God, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, I pray for the sick and afflicted that may not be here today for whatever reason. I pray you'll encourage them, God, at home. And I pray, Lord, today if there's somebody here lost in the service, oh God, I pray they'll come up to this altar and get gloriously born again in the family of God and make that difference in their life forever. And Lord, if there's a Christian out there discouraged, I pray this message will encourage them. This message is not to beat up on people, but to encourage them to share you with a lost and dying world. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, you can be seated. Thank you so much. Hey, listen to me. When I started thinking about this message, I started thinking about, hey, God's will for our lives. That's a question a lot of people ask, Brother Caswell. Amen. And see what brought this. God was dealing with me the other day. I've preached this text another way, but the Lord started dealing with me. Folks, I'm 25 years old in Christ. Be 20, 26 if we make it, if we're not raptured out before October. I go home to be with them by the grave. Almost 26 years old in Christ. I've been all over this country in a semi-truck. Amen. I've been all over the Southeast in the ministry for 4 years. Amen. I'm not always in a suit. I'm not always in a tie, brother. And hey, I'll go by people at Walmart. I'll go by people at the gas pumps. I'll go by a heap of people here and there. Why hadn't anybody told me about Jesus? Why isn't anybody concerned with my soul? Amen. Boy, I thought about that in this old message, folks. Hey, people want to know the will of God in their lives. And hey, you can find it if you want it, folks. Amen. You get right with God and get saved and gloriously born again. If you'll be faithful in your prayer life, faithful in the study and the Word of God, amen, God will reveal His will for your life if you want it. Amen. Listen to me. How do I know for sure? God will give you Scripture. He gave me Scripture when I stuck out my faith at 50 years old with a family. He gave me the Scriptures, let me know what about the ministry. He said, I'm nervous. Amen. I'm nervous. I looked on my right hand, beheld, but there's no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for your soul. God cares for their souls. Amen. Because I delivered the fatherless. Because I delivered the poor and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. Job 29:12. And then Psalm 27:10. Amen. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He gave me the verses, folks, and he'll give you the verses too if you want it. You see, a lot of Christians, they won't want it. Don't want God's will in their life because of what? S-E-L-S, self. You've got to let self go. You got to not compromise with the world, folks. Amen. And some people get the will of God, Brother Billy, and they only go halfway with it because when they get out of the comfort zone, when it gets a little rough, amen, they just go back to their routine. Amen. I'll tell you what, but right here in your King James Bible, I'm going to tell you about somebody and everybody here today. If you don't know God's will in your life and you're living for Him and you're praying and you're seeking it, it's all right. But hey, until that time comes, just be an Andrew, folks. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Andrew, who is Andrew? He was Simon Peter's younger brother, folks. Hey, listen to me. He was a fisherman by trade. He lived with his brother Peter in Capernaum. There's no scripture on marriage. He may be a bachelor. I don't know. But he was the first disciple chosen by Jesus, the first disciple, the first apostle. And hey, there's no epistle of Andrew. There's no gospel or big sermon like his brother Peter. He was never in the limelight like the other apostles, folks. He's only mentioned in 12 verses of scripture in the King James Bible. But there's some things here about Andrew I believe I help us. It's in the individuals, as a church, amen, hallelujah, and as families. Let's look at John chapter 1, Andrew's character early in life. He was a follower of John the Baptist. You say, who's John the Baptist? He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, folks. Isaiah prophesied about him 700 years. You know, I always wonder before John the Baptist stepped out into glory if he read about himself. We can ask him that one day in glory. Amen. But there, John chapter 1, verse 6, 7, and 8. There's John's mission right there. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, folks. And that light was Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to me. The religious leader, John, was living such a godly life, they thought he was the Messiah. And he let them know he wasn't the Messiah. What he was doing was blazing the trail for Jesus Christ. He was breaking down religious traditions, amen, and getting people prepared for the coming Messiah. And right there in John 1:29, look at there. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's just a period there. Amen. I believe John the Baptist was announcing our Lord and Savior as a Levitical priest right there. See, he grew up with Jesus. He was cousins. Some Bible scholars say he may have been at the temple when Jesus was 12 years old and away from his family. I believe he said something like, I've examined his life. I've never seen or found any sin in it. I find no fault in Jesus. Amen. And then you get on down there when John the Baptist started getting wound up. Amen. Hey, the Holy Ghost got involved there in verse 31, 32, and 33. Two times John said, and I knew him not. And I knew him not. But folks, when the Holy Ghost got involved, it all changed in verse 34. He said, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Hey, man. Hey, the Holy Ghost don't get involved in new birth. There'll be no new birth, folks. Are you hearing me today? He's the one that convicts the sinner, converts the sinner, conducts the service, comforts the saints, and conquers sin in our lives. Aren't you glad God sent a piece of Him to live inside of you and I who are saved? Hey, man. Aren't you glad He's always there? He's our prayer warrior. He's our helper. Hey, man. He's our teacher. So John the Baptist right there, when he comes to know Jesus personally, he goes what? He goes to his disciples there. Listen to me. And I want you to see a pattern right here. See, that John the Baptist is the kind of people that our kids need in their lives. The kind of people, hey, John was grounding his word in the way and in God's will. And we need our children to have friends and fellowship with people like that, people pointing them to Jesus and not the garbage of this world. Before my daughter got married, hey, I paid attention to who she was around. Hey, man, I'm not trying to be ugly or mean, but I wanted her beliefs to rub off on them and not theirs to rub off on her. Hey, man, are you listening to me? But John the Baptist 129 period is now an explanation point. He got excited when he met Jesus, folks. Did you get excited when you met Jesus? Boy, I tell you what, October 28, 1995, when he crawled up inside of me, Brother Caswell, he made a difference in my life. Hey, man, I went to work that Monday. That was on Saturday. I went to communion. I went to church with that family that led me to the Lord that Sunday. I didn't even know what communion was, but I found out I could take it because I got born again. Hallelujah. Do you remember that? Do you remember when your period become an explanation mark? I went to work that Monday morning. I didn't know a thing about the Word of God. I didn't know John 3:16, but I want to tell you something, folks. I told them old boys I'd run with for years what had happened, and I trusted Jesus my Savior, and he'd done something. And I took that Bible and I showed them. I said, I'm going to find out that everything's going to stay like it is and get better. I said, but I do know this, boys. If you don't get what I got, you're going to split hell wide open. Three of them did, folks, but it wasn't because somebody didn't tell them the good news of the gospel like somebody did for me. Hey, man, are you hearing me? Listen to me. Your testimony. Hey, man. Hey, are you still sharing your testimony? Your testimony is a miracle of God, folks. Looking over there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, on the rich man of Lazarus. Hey, that man's still in hell looking up. That's a present tense verb. He's going to be there for all eternity. He's pulled out of and took to the great white throne judgment and then cast in the lake of fire. And the Holy Ghost let that man right there. I thought I was going to preach on this. I guess I will a little bit. I got outline, but now I want to get in line. Amen. See that old, hey, listen to me. That old rich man, the Holy Ghost allowed that man to give us four enemies of hell. You can look for yourself. I believe they're in verses 25 through 29. He said, pray. Hey, when you get saved, that prayer of salvation, you're now, hey, that's the enemy of hell because you're not his no more. He said, pray, sin, hey, man, send people to share that word with others. And what's the third one? Testify. That's your testimony, folks. Why don't people share the testimony? I love to hear them. Hey, man, my kids are not going to have to wonder one day up here that dad's where he's at. They know where I'm at. Hey, man, I've got my mom and dad. My mom and dad was split when I was a teenager, but they never divorced. After I got saved, they got in. They just celebrated their 62nd wedding anniversary. God still fixes broken homes, folks. God will fix your broken home if it's broken. Hey, man, but your testimony is important, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them lest they come into this place of torment. Hey, share that testimony and don't be ashamed of it. There's a Savior that stretched out on Calvary and took the worst beating physically and the worst beating spiritually that we ever know about. And he done that for you and I. So that testimony is important. Hey, man. So Andrew, hey, John the Baptist introduces Andrew, John the beloved of Jesus. Verse 37, they followed Jesus. Follows a continuous action verb. I believe that's where Andrew got saved. And then look here, right after that in these verses, verse 39, he said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. Abode, it means to stay. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So see, right there was a fulfillment of James chapter 4. When they got right with Jesus, as they wanted him in their lives. They didn't want to get away from him. They followed him. Hey, man, you draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Right there is what they're doing, right there in those scriptures. Hey, man, he'll manifest himself in your life. Hey, man, when I come through those church doors, that's who I want to be a part of and be influenced by. Hey, man, and you should be the same way. Hallelujah. Let's go over to John chapter 6. Hey, man, we'll move right along. I'm going to try to be wary of the time. I just want to feed you a little bit and get you stirred up. Hey, man, but John, hey, Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Hey, man. He went after us, Brother Peter. He knew where he was at, and he brought him Jesus. That was the first group Andrew brought to Jesus, his family. Amen. When you get saved and born again, that's the first group that should recognize Jesus is in your life. Why? Because they know your past. Amen. If you slip up and mess up and you walk with the Lord, let your family know that, hey, we still mess up at times. I'm just a saved sinner now. Amen. But I don't sin, Lord, I used to do. Amen. But I still slip up and mess up at times, and I have to go to that throne of grace and get refreshed. Amen. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But here in John chapter 6, here's old Andrew. I'm just going to sum it up for you right quick. And what he went after here, John chapter 6, 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Look here, but what are they? Among so many. Now, he's been a little bit pessimistic like Philip, our folks. Amen. But listen to me. Right here, this lad, this is what I'm going to harp on for a little bit right here. This lad, it don't say he had parents. I believe with all my heart, Brother Billy, that he was 12 years old, just like Jesus was when he was away from his family for 3 days. Amen. And this lad right here had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? This little lad here, it does say he had parents. It doesn't say who packed his lunch, amen, but somebody did pack his lunch, hallelujah, and I'm glad for that. What about you out there today? Hey, are you packing a kid's lunch too, amen? Are you listening to me today? There's children out there that's dying without Jesus, dying lost, they're incarcerated. I would much rather the young people of America get Jesus before not go and get incarcerated and then get Jesus. Hey, man. Hey, I'll tell you what, folks. Children are a gift of God. They're His heritage. They're a gift of God, gift of parents from God. Hey, man. Hey. Just because the parents don't want to do anything with the kids, hey, man, just because the parents, their God, are the God of drugs and the God of entertainment and things like that, our children, hey, they need to hear about Jesus, folks. Are you hearing me? And the person that packed this kid's lunch, hey, what a blessing it is. Hey, listen to me. Our kids, hey, they need to spend time with Jesus. And right here in these scriptures, I'm going to show you what spending time with Jesus will do for a child. In John 6:2, this kid, somebody packed his lunch so he could see the miracles of God right there. People healed their diseases. This kid got to see that. In Mark 6:34, that kid got to hear the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. I got to hear it from the God of glory himself. Amen. That was important right there. That started a work in that kid's heart. That's why our kids need to be at Sunday school. And if you're a parent, you need to be there with them because, hey, showing it's important to be in there, setting that Sunday school class with your kid, showing it's a joy to serve God and not some burden. Hey, man, our kids need this in their lives, folks. Our kids need this. And then if you go over to Luke's gospel, the little kid heard the preaching of the kingdom of God. Hey, man, the preaching of the kingdom of God. That kid wasn't on social media. He wasn't on TV, watching TV. Listen to me. Psalm 101, I believe it's verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's still in the Bible. Bible, folks. Hey, man, you get off that TV and social media and get with your children. Hey, man, and start pointing them to the things of God. Are you hearing me? Listen to me. I'll tell you another quick story. Our last prison revival I was in Butner, North Carolina. I believe we had over 50 get in that week, brother. You say you was in prison Saturday night? Yeah. When those kids see us old fat preachers in there on Saturday night telling them about Jesus and still at the house enjoying ourselves, they know we're there because we want to be there. They know that we're concerned about their soul. The last 4 come up to me at one time after getting in their tater patch on what repentance was, what they believed about Jesus, and if they truly wanted to be saved. I told these young men, I said, listen to me. I said, hey, I said, you can snuff me, but you won't snuff God. If God's Spirit's dealing with you, hey, He'll save your soul right now and you'll know it. Amen. And those kids, they said their prayer, their repentance. Amen. Whenever they got done, I believe they got it. Because if I'd have been in that facility, when I said, I've got 5 minutes, what do y'all want to pray about? I'd been praying that I got a governor pardon. But I think about the Macedonia call. come over to Macedonia and help us. I believe that was the prisoners. Because whenever those shackles come off and whenever those doors open, they didn't run away. They knew they had done wrong. Those kids, every one of them with tears in their eyes, pray for my family back home. They're in a mess. They didn't ask to get out of there. They knew they had done something, folks, and they was going to stay there and do their time for their punishment. And hey, I'll tell you what, it'll move your heart. Hey, man, are you listening to me today? I tell you what, our kids are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't know if there's any children in here or not, but don't you ever think that God can't use you, young person. Hey, man, there's things that this church needs things done. If you can scripturally help, and this pastor right here will know about it, let them help. Hey, man, so many parents in our society, they'll bring children into this world, but they'll never bring their own flesh and blood to Jesus. That's what the Lord laid on my heart on that, folks. Are you hearing me? The times and talents you have, young people, God will multiply them to help others. You go into nursing homes and preaching, and those young people are in there. I tell you what, it encourages them. Hey, man. And one of these days, if the Lord tarries there, Brother Caswell, I'll need that too, probably. Hey, man. Hey, listen to me. Your parents here, you're responsible for where you aim those little arrows out. You're either aiming them at the things of God or the garbage of this world. And if it's the garbage of this world, you need to repent and start pointing them at the things of God, because that's what they need this life. That's why this life's the mess that it's in. And I can back it up with story after story. Hey, man, are you listening to me tonight? Don't push your children aside. Bring them to Jesus. Hey, man, and I want to tell you something else. This is what the Lord showed me in that scripture too. And we'll move on to the next thing about Andrew. All those thousands of people out there, Brother Caswell, at the feed of the 5,000, it's recorded in all four Gospels. Andrew spots a lad. There could have been 15, 20,000 people there, counting the kids and the wives, folks. And he sees that lad. See, this is for you, soul winner. God, the Holy Ghost, will put people in your path to tell about Jesus if you'll look for them. I'll tell you one quick story and back it up. Silva, North Carolina recently. Silva, North Carolina is in the mountains. It's in the sticks. I believe the stop signs there still say, whoa. Hey, man, you don't go to a church there and say, I just happened to be here. Hey, I had a church service in Hazel, North Carolina, so I pulled in there at the Walmart to stretch my legs, and I had some homeless bags with me. Folks, those homeless bags, we call them bags of compassion. God laid it on my heart, and he supplies it through his people. We didn't budget in the ministry. We pack them. We give them out. Why? To get the gospel to the homeless. You say, why? Because they need Jesus too. Most of the homeless we deal with, they're on drugs, alcohol. You see the needle marks, prostitution, wicked lives. But sometimes I've run into my brothers and sisters in Christ. Medical bills put on the street, and they were just trying to get back on their feet. Amen. There's hygiene items. There's a King James Bible, some tracts and stuff. If you walk up to a homeless person and just start telling about Jesus, most of the time they're going to walk off. But if you set that back down there, they're going to give you some time. And that's when it comes to what I want. I'll tell them how that bag come about, how Jesus loves them, and then I'll say, I want to know how you are with the Lord. And that's where that comes in for me. Hey, man, you can dismantle those bags. I'll probably get to give them away between here and Durham. And sometimes the items vary in them, but it's all to reach them with the gospel. And if you've been paying attention to prayer letters, we had 5 in the last prayer letter come to Christ. And I praise the Lord for that. And we do checkups with them if we can. We encourage them and point them towards churches in their area to help them. Hey, man, sometimes a pastor of the area will come with us, and we'll give out their literature. Hey, man. But I was in Silva, North Carolina, and I done a sweep through Walmart. I had 2 hours before the church service, and I parked that van, and I bowed my head, and I said, God, I got some homeless bags. I don't know if there's any homeless in Silva, North Carolina, but if they are, I got 2 hours, Lord, and if you'll show me where they're at, I'd sure like to tell them about you. And I said, hey, man, and I raised my head up, and about 60 yards away, James walked over the hill. He had to look a homeless, so I got out and started towards him. Now, most when we just do homeless as missionaries, most of the time we're in our street clothes, because if we wear our suits, they say 50-50, and they'll run from us. Well, I had a church service, so I was in my suit, and I stopped him. I said, stop. I said, I just want to talk to you a minute. I said, I'm not profiling you, but are you homeless? He said, yes, sir, living under the overpass right there at Walmart. And I told him who I was and what I was about. I said, I've got some food. Can you use some food, James? He said, I can. So I set that bag down and I go into what it was about and how God's people provided, how the Lord's taking care of him just like the little birds. Hey, man, he's got a meal for the day. I said, but James, this will run out. I just want to know how you are with the Lord. He dropped his head, Pastor Caswell, and he said, preacher, the wrath of God is on my life for my sin. And I'm headed straight to hell, and there's not a thing I can do about it. I said, hold on there, James. I said, you've got about half of that right. I said, if you leave this world without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I said, and I said, it's not a religion, but it's a relationship. I said, you'll split hell wide open. I said, you're right. I said, but has anybody ever told you how to get that wrath off your life for all eternity? I said, has anybody ever shared the gospel with you, James, and told you the good news of what Jesus done about your wrath that's on you? He said, no. Took on a tour through the Bible, church. Took him over to Genesis where the wrath got put on us. Took him over to John 3:6, showing him where the wrath was still on him because he didn't have Jesus in his life. Took him through the gospels of what Jesus done for our wrath. When he said, it is finished, he took care of that wrath. Then I took him to the salvation scriptures, and I let him read on himself. When I'm leading somebody to Christ and they want Jesus, I let them read the scriptures themselves. I go to many different ones. On James that day, he said he believed in Jesus. I showed him John 3:16. He said he wanted to come to Jesus. I showed him John 6:37. He said he wanted to confess Jesus. And I showed him Romans 10:9, and 10. And then I showed him how to receive Jesus in John 1:12. After all that took place, I told him, I said, I can't put Jesus in you. He said he understood the scriptures, and I hope he meant what he said. If he did, he got saved. When I get a picture, if God's in it, sometimes I don't take a picture. I don't post it on social media. And I took that picture with me and showed the preacher down in Hayesville because I know I probably won't be back by Silva anytime soon. I said, there's this picture. Will you check on? He said, I sure will. But that's what the homeless ministry is about, folks. They need Jesus too. Hey, man, wasn't for the grace of God, we could be in that situation too. Hey, man, listen to me. Hey, listen to me. On these kids, and I'll get off the lad in just a second. The only real crime they've committed in these facilities I go into is born in a godless, God-hating society, born to uncaring, unsaved parents, hey man, and born in a wicked world. That's what it is, folks, for our youth, hey man. Are you listening to me tonight? Let's go to John chapter 12. I'll speed it up right quick. John chapter 12. I'll just get rid of the outline and preach to you a little bit. We'll be done. Just give me just a few more minutes. Here in John chapter 12, verse 20, 21, and 22. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Right here you got the Greeks, the Gentiles, folks. And right here the Passover's going on. Judaism was the most popular religion at that time. And Lazarus had just got raised from the dead, and he made headline news. People was turning to Jesus because of that. Hey, man. They said the world had gone after him, the religious ruler said. But right here, Philip, I know his name is Greek, but look, they came to Philip. And this is what the Lord laid on my heart. I believe Philip had enough Jesus in his life on his daily walk that they knew he was a follower of Jesus. How about you? How about you at the workplace, folks? Is there enough Jesus on your life when you're there, when you're out at the stores, hey man, that people know that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey man, if there's not, there should be. Listen to me. Over there in Acts chapter, over there in the first few chapters of the book of Acts, Jesus was the focal point of the people's conversation. Hey, the weeks and months that follows, thousands getting swept in the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 5 said, told the answer right there. Daily in the temple, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. When people come up, I believe at this time, Brother Caswell, I believe if I was a follower and saved by the glorious grace of God and you was lost, I believe they come up, start talking about things going on that week, and they shared the testimony. Let me tell you what Jesus done for me. He saved my soul, and that same Jesus saved my soul, saved your soul. I don't know why people won't talk about the Lord at the workplace or here or there. Hey man, we've got rights too, hey man, and God put something in us that needs to be shared with others. Why not share that testimony at the workplace? The people at the workplace even know that you belong to Jesus Christ, that they know that you're a child child of God? Do they know that you come to a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching church? You see, if they had knew that, hey, man, I listened to him. 26 years old in Christ, God's people's not doing something, hey, man. Not doing something right. Share what you've got inside of you with others. Let your lost family know how good it is to be a child of God. Hey, I've still got family, hey, that's lost. And at the family get-togethers, hey, man, I still tell them about Jesus and share my testimony because I want them to have what I got, folks. Andrew here tells Philip, and hey, right here is where Andrew become a national missionary. Gentiles, Jews wasn't supposed to have anything to do with them. But Andrew didn't care about the race, the religion. He just pulling on to Jesus. Hey, man, John over in chapter 10, hey, he said in verse 16, and others that he's bringing into the fold. I believe Andrew remembered that, preacher. I believe he did. Andrew didn't care about the race. He said, just come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus, people. And that's how we need to be doing in our lives, in our daily walk at the gas pumps. Hey, man, telling people just come to Jesus. Hey, man, inviting them to the house of God. Hey, man, they're not going to come if they're not invited. They're not going to come if you don't go after them. Hey, man, God's called me to a certain group. It's a juveniles, and I go after the homeless. But you're going to see and be around people that I will never be around. Hey, man, why not share the good news with them? Somebody done it for you. Hey, man, somebody done it for you. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll be done. The last mention of Andrew in the King James Bible. So he went after family. Then he went after the youth. Hallelujah. Then he turned into a missionary and went after everybody. Over here in Acts chapter 1, in your King James Bible, the last mention of Andrew, verse 13. And when they were come up in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Right there's the last mention of Andrew, still hanging out with the right people, God's people, fixing to set this old world on fire, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right there it is for the church, right there, accord is unity. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. They had prayer, supplication, reaching. Hey, Timothy tells us to pray for all men to be saved. And I believe that's what they're doing. Because 10 days later, folks, hey, Pentecost broke out. 3,000 souls got saved. That's what it'll do, folks. Are you hearing me today? And look down here at Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, man, that ye is all right there. And it doesn't specify names, folks. The Holy Ghost, power is dunamis. And hey, God has given you the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He's given you power to witness. That's dunamis. That's where we got dynamite. You can be a dynamite soul winner, folks. And you know what? There's a soul winner's crown waiting for a child of God one day when they go home to glory, folks. But ye shall receive power. It doesn't specify that you be a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, or whatever. It just says go tell people about Jesus. You got the power to witness in your life, folks. Don't keep them to yourself. And age is not an excuse. The Bible says over there in Psalm 92 to be fat and flourish and bearing fruit in your old age. Hey, man, what you've got inside of you needs to be shared with others. If you've been dormant in that, hey, you can get to this altar, beg God to forgive you and to help you in that situation. You say, well, I don't know what to say to lost people. The Holy Spirit in John 14:26, he's your teacher. He'll teach you what to say. Hey, man, you don't have to go to a soul winner seminar to learn how to witness to people. Just share your testimony and let the Holy Spirit guide your talk. He'll guide your talk and reach that heart. And hey, then they may say those words that I love to hear. What must I do to be saved? Hey, do you want to hear that in your life? Boy, I hope you do. I see there's a lot of people here today. That's why I've been so nervous and scattered. But listen to me. If you start sharing your testimony like God wants you to, don't be ashamed of it. Get you a little bit of scripture. Write it on your hand if you have to. That's what I had to do, hey man, until I learned a little bit. And tell people about Jesus. Hey, man. Hey, the devil's going to bring the crowd by to give you a hard time, but just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Pastor, I've been spit at. I've been cussed at in them facilities. You say, what do you do, preacher? I just keep telling them about Jesus. We've had young people cuss us with words that I don't even know. I've never heard in my life. But when they got saved, boy, it made a difference. That Holy Ghost, and they come up, preacher, I'm sorry for how I talked to you. Hey, that's all right. I used to be just like them. Hey, man, are you still hearing me today? Pastor, you want me to sum this up with the invitation? Hey, man, if we got somebody to come play something softly on the piano. Hey, man, if everybody will stand to your feet, reverence the reading of the Word. Not the reading of the Word of God, the invitation. See, folks, I'm still nervous. Hey, man. Oh, my. If everybody will bow your head and close your eyes and nobody looking around. Oh, my. God's been good to all of us, folks. Hey, man, I tell you what. If we go back in time, hey, man, go back 2,000 years. Isaiah chapter 53, the Lord laid on my heart. In verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. It says, all we like sheep has gone astray. That's us, the sinner. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hey, folks, listen to me. Just think about it today. Hey, man, I'll tell you what. God's been good to us, folks. Look what Jesus did on that Calvary, on the cross of Calvary. When I read Isaiah 53, I see three people in there. I see God the Father, God the Son, and me the sinner. Hey, man, Jesus suffered and bled and died. You study out how he died on that cross. It was awful, but boy, he could have bailed out in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, I can't do this, Father. It's too tough. Just let them go. Let them be burned up. But he didn't do that. Hey, man, he knew there'd be a day when somebody would take a King James Bible and would share him with others, the future believers. In John 17, that's you and I who are saved here today, the future believers, and would share him with others, and you'd come to the saving knowledge of him. Oh, if you're saved here today, there's nobody looking around, why not raise your hand? Hey, raise your hand towards glory and let the Lord know how much you love him. Hey, man, and how good he's been good to you. Hey, man, anybody got a testimony? Anybody here knows the Lord? Hey, I see hands coming up all over the place. Hey, man, don't be ashamed of what you got. Christ went all the way to Calvary for you. He suffered for you and bled and died to give you that abundant life. And I believe many people in here have that abundant life. Hey, man, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know the Lord, the pastor's down here at the altar, and I know he'd love to take his King James Bible and show you how to get gloriously born again in the family of God. That's the first thing you need to do, folks, if you don't know the Lord. Hey, man, don't worry about what others are looking, what others are thinking. Hey, think about that soul. When I'm in those facilities and they start running from God, I just get right in their tater patch. And I said, hey, what sin is it that you want to take to hell with you? There's not a relationship. There's not a drug. There's not a lifestyle worth hell for all eternity. If you don't know the Lord, hey, come down today, hey, and get to know him personally if God's dealing with your heart. And if you're saved, hallelujah, hug your neighbor if you can. I know COVID might still be around and all, but if you're sitting beside them, hey, man, you can hug them before they go out the door. Hey, man, Jesus is coming back. He's going to split that eastern sky one day. Hey, man, there's going to be a door open, folks. Hey, man, a trumpet's going to sound. Hey, there's going to be a generation that won't see death, and I hope it's every one of us in here. I hope if it happened right now, you'd all be gone to glory. Amen. Amen. Pastor Caswell, I believe everything's done. Holy Ghost says, be quiet and sit down. Hey, thank you.